Well, most people are going around today saying Happy New Year, and rightfully so, for it is the beginning of a new year. As we might still be a little bleary-eyed, a little tired from having stayed up tall hours of the night, even though I went to bed at 10 p.m. and got a normal amount of sleep. But most people think of New Year's Day in purely secular terms. And sadly, it's perhaps best known now for occasions for loud parties and excessive drinking. It's a mistake to view New Year's Day simply, though, as a secular holiday. And speaking of the fullness of time, St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that all time, all ages belongs to God. That this year is not simply 2020. It is 2020 Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. That even the most unbelieving people in Western world denote their place in time in relationship to Jesus Christ. That it's been 2,019 years since the birth of Christ. That every time we write the date out for whatever it is on top of a letter, every time we see it on the top of a newspaper or on our computer screen, that number, 2020, points back to Christ. That he is the Lord of history. Jesus has set the date. He is the clock by which we measure. That all time belongs to him. He who existed before time began. That Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He who is and who was and who is to come. That if it's true that 2020 references the birth of Christ, then why is Christmas Day not also our New Year's Day? Why is it that January 1st is our New Year's Day? And the fact is that we don't understand until we understand our liturgy, our faith. That the church, in stretching back to our ancient Jewish traditions, it's customary to celebrate high feasts of faith for a period of a week. Then in the Christian tradition, this is known as an octave. Although we think of a week comprising 7 days, consider that we celebrated Christmas this past Wednesday, and that this time we celebrate then now New Year's, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, also on a Wednesday. Wednesday is inclusive as 8 days. That Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, is the 8th day of Christmas. In the Christmas tradition, the octave is considered one long day, one long celebration that lasts for 8 calendar days. So therefore, this Wednesday that we are on today, January 1st, completes Christmas Day. It is fulfilled. Or as St. Paul tells us, the fullness of time in term of Christmas has come. At the end of the 8-day Christmas Day, our calendar flips from 2019 to 2020. That this New Year's Day, we contemplate that fullness of time. The passage of another year reminds us of the magnificent truth that God of all time, past, present, and future, is equally present to us right now. That he holds all things together in himself. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. That whenever he acts in our time, outside of the fullness of time. This is a very deep mystery, and we should ponder in silence the mystery of our God. All things are. That he is not waiting for things to happen. For him, everything is already accomplished. We see then St. Paul go on to say, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. This statement again reminds us that we are still in Christmas. We are still celebrating the birth of our Lord. That while it is New Year's Day, it is also in this complex tapestry that we have this day as well. That it is still Christmas Day, the 8th day of that long day. That is why we are celebrating the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. That we note St. Paul saying, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. That Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the eternal Son of the Father. He is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, as we profess in our creed, that we'll say in a short time from now, Jesus is God. And because Mary gave birth to him, she is the mother of God. Because Jesus is not two different persons. Okay, we don't think of him that way. Mary did not just give birth to a part of Jesus. She gave birth to Jesus. That thus the title of Mother of God speaks to us as much about Jesus as it does about Mary. That she has that title because of the church's insistence that Jesus cannot be divided, cannot be two people, that he is both human and divine, has both natures as one person. And we cannot say that Mary gave birth to one Jesus and not to the other one. That although he has two natures, there is only one Jesus. That we defeated those heresies a long time ago, saying that he was neither human nor God at different times. No, he is both, forever, in the hypostatic union, both human and divine. And thus, on this feast of Christmas, on this eighth day of Christmas, we're reminded, solemnly taught, that Jesus is both God and man. Taking human nature to himself from his mother Mary, he remains one person. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And then St. Paul goes on to say, born under the law to ransom those under the law, so we might receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son in our hearts crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, also an heir through God. That we note that on the eighth day, Jesus is circumcised, enters into the covenant, made part of the covenant family, into the law. In the incarnation, in him becoming man, he joins the human family. That in his circumcision, in the covenant, he joins our family of faith. That he fulfills that old covenant, inaugurates the new and eternal covenant that we live under now, 2,000 years later. That by this new covenant, by baptism into him, we become members of his body, are thereby adopted as sons of God, receiving a share of his divine sonship. That we become sons in the Son. That when God the Father looks at his Son, loving him, God the Father is also looking at us, loving us, for we are also in Christ as members of his body through baptism. That God is now our Father, not in an allegorical sense, but in a very real sense, in a very tangible sense, that we are in Jesus. And God there is very much really our Father. That's why St. Paul says the proof of our sonship is the movement of the Holy Spirit in us that cries out, Abba. That in Aramaic and Hebrew, Abba was a family term for father, not a formal term. It's not baby talk like Dada. However, it's just like most of us go and call our fathers Dad or Daddy or some other form of endearment rather than that more formal of father. That Abba is used in that way. It would be quite a daring thing to go and call God Dad if we were not permitted to do so, instructed to do so by Christ himself, the Son of God. That St. Paul speaks this word, Abba, as proof that we are his sons. In doing so, he emphasizes that it's not merely saying the word that he refers to, that even a parrot can be taught to say words. Rather, St. Paul is referring to what that word represents. That we have been made sons of God through our baptism. That this is a movement of the Holy Spirit, a grace of the Holy Spirit, where we experience that deep affection for God as our Father. That by our adoption, by our baptism into Christ, by our reception of the Holy Spirit, we can love God the Father. That we develop that deep affection for him, dread offending him. That by this gift of the Spirit, God is our Father, whom we deeply love. Then notice then that St. Paul speaks of how we're moved from being slaves to being sons, to being heirs of God. That in Jesus, we're not just any son. We are the only son of the Father. That as Jesus has a kingdom from his Father, so do we also inherit it with him, that kingdom of the Father. That as sons in the Son, we are heirs with Jesus in his kingdom. That Jesus speaks to his disciples as reigning with him all one day. As that all of us will reign with him one day. I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father conferred one on me. That in Jesus all of heaven will be ours. We will reign with him forever. And this is not our doing, not our glory. It is Christ's doing, his glory, by coming into the world, by being born a man, as we have been celebrating these 8 days of Christmas, this long Christmas day, that he became man so that we can share in his glory, in the work of redemption he has come to accomplish. That this is what we are celebrating with this feast, the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. That we're given this feast wherein the glory of Christ is held before us, and we who are members of his body may also hold it forth, are told that these are the gifts that we have received, that we continue to receive by his holy incarnation, by his passion, death, and resurrection. And this is a great way to start our new year. Be reminded of the incredible love God has for us, of the rich blessings and graces that he wants to give us, that he loved us so much that he sent his only son into the world to be born a man, even though he does not know sin, to give us the redemption of our sins, to make us like himself, to make us his children. Said he can welcome us into his heavenly kingdom. Said he can name us son and daughter.